Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 19 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista here, as always, with the great Kyle Keegan, who's in a very good mood today.
I don't think I've ever been more excited to record an episode.
Well, to be honest, to be frank, there hasn't been too much positive stuff happening in terms of New York sports recently. So, yeah, it's a nice little turnaround for you.
Bro, this is – dude, we are – say what you want about 3-7. We are breathing down the Eagles' necks. Now, I don't know if the Giants are going to win the NFC East. That is not a guarantee I can make because they are not a great football team yet. But they are breathing heavily down the Eagles' necks. They are right there in November. They are right there.
Doesn't happen too often.
They are in the hunt on November 16th. That is, if you told me that 2 months ago when we did our preview, I would have said you're crazy. Like, because first of all, I thought the Cowboys were going to be good. God bless Dak Prescott. It's a shame what happened, but they're out. They don't have Dak. They don't even have Andy Dalton. Washington is Washington. They have one less win than the Giants. But I think it's fair to say that the Giants are way more talented than Washington. I don't think that's a stretch. I think the Giants have way more talented young players, and they're just in a better spot, especially because the Giants beat them twice.
Yeah.
And the Eagles, man, the thing about the Eagles is that – here's the thing. The Giants are the only team right now in the NFC East trending up.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
So – they've won two in a row, which I know isn't much of an accomplishment, but in the last 4 years for the Giants, that's something to be said. So, they're, like I said, man, they are right there, and it's exciting that we're going down the stretch and we're going to have something to talk about going into the NBA and NHL because it's November and we get to talk about meaningful football somehow. Like, that's magical, huh?
That's not a very common thing in New York in recent times.
Not the last few years, no. Like, this is great. This is really great. And you know what? That's 2 weeks in a row now that Daniel Jones has not turned the ball over. That is wonderful development right there. He's protecting the ball better. He hasn't made any, like, ill-advised, like, stupid, like, oh, my God, why would you do that throws. And it just – they beat – I get it that Washington and Philly is not that great. But when I say the Giants have – they could be easily on a 6-game winning streak because they lost – their other 3 losses have come by a combined 6 points. Like, it's not a stretch to say the Giants could be 6-4. It's really not. Like, I know that's just me being biased and delusional. Look at the scores. Watch the highlights. Look at the games. They're right there in every game except for the 49ers game. They played with the Steelers for 3 quarters, for God's sake, who are 9-0. They are right there. So before I recap the game, do you want to say anything first?
Look, right now, I just want to put it out there. I didn't think this at the beginning of the season, but obviously things have changed. There's been injuries. There's been different trends. There's been moves, whatever. I think right now the Giants are in the best spot in talent-wise and, like you said, trending upwards. I think that the Giants are in the best spot to win the NFC East this season. And obviously it's not going to be a pretty race.
I don't know if they're in the best, but, like, I like their chances, you know?
No, because, like, here's the thing. The fact that we're talking about the Giants possibly making the playoffs with a finished record of, what, 6-10 maybe? 7-9?
I think that might be enough. Like it's really – guys.
So lucky.
Guys, it's going to be close.
It's going to be extremely close. I think it's going to come down to the last 2 weeks for a playoff spot to be decided. Look, the past 2 games have been extremely crucial wins that the Giants needed to stay alive. The fact that right now they're able to show flashes of this decent team where, yeah, like you said, they've lost their past 2 games, but they've been able to stay in it. They've been able to play consistent, and there's been different issues in certain parts of the field. Obviously, Daniel Jones' turnover is a very big part of that. But, hey, the past 2 games, he's been fine. Hopefully, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I should root for the Giants right now, but for sake of the pod, I'm going to say hopefully that continues.
For the content.
Yes, there you go.
Yes, and you will get Trevor Lawrence.
That's the plan.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? We don't even have to talk about the Jets this week. The Jets didn't lose.
The Jets did not lose this weekend, which is something that I have not been able to say this entire season, which I'm extremely happy about. So no Jets talk for once. No.
We have a good show. We have a good show for you guys.
All right, so here's
what I'll say about the Giants before I get into the game itself. It seems like right now we have a second-year quarterback that's finally bought into the system, that's playing mistake-free football these last two games. Sneaky athletic guy. He's a big guy for a quarterback too. Like he's pretty big, Daniel Jones. Like I don't think people seem to notice that. And he's like, he's fast, man. Like he reaches speed. He's 6'5", 220. That's big, and he ran 22 miles an hour on that touchdown today, like yesterday afternoon. Like, dude, he's got some talent in his bones, man. He made a lot of good throws down the field this week, which is something I wanted to see. He made good throws down the field. The receivers really played mistake-free other than Slayton had a bad drop, but it didn't end up coming back to bite them because the Eagles kind of just played – Eagles played bad. And you know what? The arrogance of that Philadelphia Eagles loser scumbag organization is really coming out right now. I don't care if you win the NFC East this year. Like, listen, I want the Giants to win. You take the NFC East this year. You guys have a quarterback who will never, ever be the same level he was in the MVP caliber 3 years ago with those injuries. Dream. He will never get back to that level. And I'm not saying that's a good – like, that sucks for Carson Wentz. Like, whatever, but he will never be on that level again, I don't think. And they've got – age-wise, the Giants are a much younger team. The Giants have a young offensive line that's really clicked the last few weeks, that's really starting to play well these last 3 or 4 weeks, not allowing as much pressure. They've got three rookies on there rotating in and out, and they've all done a pretty good job the last few weeks. I think it's Matt Peart, Shane Lemieux, and Andrew Thomas. I really can't complain about – I mean, Thomas took a pretty bad penalty in the game. But other than that, he's played really well these last few weeks, fourth overall pick. And Lemieux and Matt Peart have been – I don't know if I'm saying that. Is Peart, Parrot, something like that?
One of the two, yeah.
Yeah, it's something – I'll figure it out. But they're playing well. Nick Gates has been pretty good at center. Like, they have a young offensive line that's kind of figuring it out and starting to work together, and it looks good. It's nothing sexy, but it looks good. They've got a young core, and they got a first-year head coach where it really seems like the team is starting to buy in. No nonsense guy, and they're like, well, listen, we want to win for this dude. We want to put our bodies on the line for this dude. We want to play mistake-free football for this dude. And it's starting to look good, man. It's starting to look good. The biggest problem with the Giants the first 8 games of the season was, couldn't they finish? Can they finish? The last 2 weeks, they've done a fantastic job at finishing. And as a young football team, that's not easy to do. So I really can't complain. And with that being said, let's get right into it. Well, the Giants scored. You go.
I just want to say one thing that I've been able to see the past few weeks, not even the past 2 weeks, the past couple weeks where the Giants have been in close games where either they've blown it at the end or just had unfortunate circumstance type thing. But the Giants have been able to click much more than other teams that are considered better than them. I think the Giants have the chemistry.
The Giants are overperforming more so than the Eagles and Cowboys are underperforming.
Oh, 100%. I think that the Giants have the best chance at the NFC East because of the chemistry on their team. And yes, there's some different outliers. There's different plays that don't end up the way that they want. Like you said, the Slayton drop last time. Obviously, the Engram drop that one game absolutely killed you guys. But regardless, I think that this team is showing a lot more potential than I expected them to. And, you know, I had them in my early season predictions before the season going 6-10. And then after a few games, I was like, okay, maybe I overshot it a little bit. I'm going right back to that. I think they're going to finish 6-10. And you know what? That just might be enough to win the division. That might be enough to get a playoff spot.
You're right. It's interesting you say that. And I checked this out on Twitter earlier today. Of the remaining schedule, the Giants have the 21st most difficult.
And then the Eagles are sixth.
And the Eagles have the sixth, right?
Yeah.
I think the Eagles have the sixth. So, we'll see, but listen, the next game for the Giants, which they're going into their bye, which I don't know if I love that because they're really starting to click. Maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing. You never know with a young team, but it's the Bengals. They have to win that one. They have to beat Cincy. and they have to beat Dallas in week 17. Those are the two that they must win. The four in between, which is Seattle, Arizona, Cleveland, Baltimore, you love to get one. You kind of have to get one.
Yeah.
You have to get one.
Lucky with that. I don't know.
You have to win one of those games, and you never know. You never know. Like, and what it's going to come down to is the Giants and Eagles both have to play good teams coming up, going down the stretch. But whichever team beats a good team more times is going to win. You know what I mean? If the Giants beat a good team once and the Eagles only beat the Cowboys in Washington, then the Giants will win the division because the Giants will probably – you know what I mean? Like, it's just going to come down to that. And
I think it all comes down to the divisional games. I mean, you split –
the Giants only have one left, and it's Dallas at home.
Right. So they lost the first one at Dallas, right?
Yeah, and that one was a real – that. They got screwed big time on a holding call at the end. And
that's right. That's right.
That and just two touchdowns taken off the board. Just a mess. But, yes. Well,
right now, they are, what, 3-2 in divisional games this year with one to go?
Yes, because they beat Washington twice and they beat Philly.
Look, if they could win, is the Dallas game week 17?
Yes, and it's
– I think that it's going to come down to that game. I think 100% because in terms of divisional record, in terms of – regular record, I think that the Eagles and the Giants are going to finish right around the same spot where it's going to be a win and you're in type scenario.
Yeah, I mean, the thing right now is that the Giants don't yet control their own destiny, and it's a little early to be talking about that, I think. But the Eagles are 3-5-1, the Giants are 3-7. If Cleveland beats the Eagles next Sunday, Giants will be a half game back, and the Giants are breathing down their necks.
Yep.
So, and as much as, like, the Eagles played really – as well as the Giants played on Sunday, the Eagles also, other than probably about 5 minutes of the game, the end of the second half, and the end of the first half and the beginning of the second half, the Giants really outplayed them for about 80% of that game.
I just want to say one thing about the Eagles. I don't understand how you make Miles Sanders do all the work and then you have Boston Scott and Corey Clement running in for touchdowns when I clearly have Miles Sanders on my fantasy team. I think that's pretty messed up.
You know that Boston Scott owns us, which is ridiculousness. I don't even understand that for the life of me. But and the crazy thing about the Giants is, like, we can play the injury game everywhere. And the Giants beat the Eagles with a mostly healthy Eagles team. Way more healthy than 3 weeks ago when they lost and they blew it in at the link. But yeah. If we're going to play devil's advocate here, the Giants have – their most talented player is out for the season, and Xavier McKinney hasn't played a snap yet.
Yeah.
So it really – it's interesting, man. You really – this is the first time in 4 years where I can confidently say that I can kind of see the plan coming together right now. And it comes down to can the Giants continue to – to convert, can the Giants continue to step up and make big plays in the clutch and finish? Because they've had 10-point or more leads in all of their last 6 games, and they've only won half of them. Now, that's young team growing pains, but that sucks. Like, because they should be better than 3-7 by that logic. So, yeah, it's gonna be really close. But we've put this off long enough. The Giants scored on their opening two possessions. There's the Daniel Jones run in, and then a great 75-yard, 7-minute drive down the field to get the other touchdown. So it's 14-3. And then at halftime, it stayed the same score. The Giants were up 14-3 at the half. And then to start the second half, the Eagles came out guns blazing. They scored a touchdown immediately on the Boston Scott 56-yarder, which, by the way, he was out of bounds on. I don't care what you tell me.
It was out of bounds. I wanted him to be out of bounds for the sake of my fantasy team, but yeah.
Whatever. I'm just going to say he stepped out, but whatever. Gorgeous drive. Daniel Jones with some pinpoint accuracy to Shepard and Tate, who are, by the way, filling their roles perfectly as slot guys on and off, whatever they're doing. They're doing a good job. They're doing their job. Perfect throws, and then they score there really quickly, and then the Eagles scored again. So right now, so it's 21-17 Giants, and I'm thinking like, wow, they're really going to do this again. Punt, 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 punt. And then, so the story that with the Giants defense this season has been that in the second half, they've been way worse than in the first half. And that looked like it was going to be the case again during the third quarter. And then they kind of just figured it out and they put the clamps on Carson Wentz and the Eagles for the rest of the game after those two touchdowns, obviously.
Now,
no turnovers, but the defense played pretty well.
Since we're on the topic of Giants defense, I'm going to go slightly a little bit off topic. How about this DeAndre Baker situation?
Oh, yeah, I forgot that happened.
Oh, my God.
I don't think he's coming back.
I think he'll be in on an NFL team.
I've seen a lot of opinions on Giants Twitter about this today, and it's kind of a touchy subject.
Understandable.
So I'm gonna opt to not really make a definitive comment on it at this time.
Fair.
Do I wish he was on the roster? Hell yeah, he'd be a great CB2 behind behind Bradbury.
I mean, hey, your other cornerback,
Isaac Yiadom played pretty well.
Yeah,
he did. He played pretty well. We finally got rid of Ballantyne too. He stinks. That guy sucked, and now he's on the Jets, right?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he's on their practice.
Pretty sure the Jets picked him up. Have fun. He sucks. I'm serious. Like, that guy's ass. But yeah, he played all right. He played all right. And I like Logan Ryan as a slot corner, kind of a nickelback. I like that. He's been pretty good. He's been a good signing. I kind of hope they extend him. Jabril Peppers in the last few games has been money. Just great. I don't even know if it's a stretch to say anymore that the Giants won that trade, the OBJ trade, because Jabril Peppers has been very good recently. Like, he's a good safety, solid.
I think that Jabril Peppers is one of my favorite non-Jets players in the league just because of his play style. He's a classy guy, but he's still able to get
– He's a two-way safety. He gets it done in the trenches, and he's decent at coverage. Like, really can't complain much. Like, he's been doing his job. And I really got on his back after the first game in Philly when he couldn't guard Boston Scott on that wheel route, and I was really upset about everything. And just he's overall had a very good season, and he's a good part of this team. But the real stars are Blake Martinez and James Bradbury, the two free agent signings that have been just perfect so far. Just really great. Blake Martinez leading the league in solo tackles. Bradbury has got a few picks. Had that big – Fulgham was put on Bradbury Island yesterday. I mean,
yesterday.
One reception for 8 yards. Dude was put on clamps. That's how you know he's doing his job. Because the thing is, like, on defense, it's not the wide receiver ones that have been killing the Giants this year. Bradbury has been up to the task. He is the top five – dare I say, top three corner in the league this year. Like, he's been very good. Lockdown guy, exactly what they needed. And to get a guy like Xavier McKinney, a guy who's more of like a free safety coverage guy to combat Jabril Peppers' two-way play style, might just be, if he's what we think he is, hopefully the injury doesn't linger, might just be what we need.
Look, I have high hopes for the Giants. That's pretty much it. That's my closing statement. I think that it's definitely possible that this team could be a playoff team, and I don't understand how or why.
That itself, after 10 games, is exciting.
Yeah, exactly. That's a better way to put it.
Yeah. So, bye week next week, then Bengals. You have to beat Cincinnati, because if you don't beat Cincinnati, you have to win two of the next four after, which is not an easy task.
Nice.
You kind of just got to root for the Eagles to lose too. You got to hope the Eagles keep losing. And like Washington and Dallas, I know we haven't really talked about them much. It's not like they're out of it. It's just more that like they're not as I don't think they're as good as the Giants. And because without Dak, the Cowboys are nothing. And which really shows that they need to get him under contract. The Cowboys defense stinks too, and Washington's just – I don't really see any bright spots for them other than God bless Alex Smith. I'm glad he's playing well. Right? Like, I mean, I don't really see anything special going on in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, They've got a long way to go. I think that they could be a playoff team if they had a better structure. I'm not sure. I like Ron Rivera, but he hasn't really been able to do too much, and I think that might be because of the quarterback situation. I am extremely glad that Alex Smith is back on the field and playing at least decently well. I mean, he had a good game last week, but I think that he's going to be comeback player of the year, but obviously the
Trinkets are coming. I think he will, too.
What he went through was insane.
Obviously. Just ridiculous that he's back on a football field again. Like, good for that guy.
But, like, at the same time, like, you're not going to focus on Alex Smith being your quarterback for the next few years. I mean, what is he? He's old. He's 35, 36.
I remember, like, 10 years ago, him being the quarterback for the Niners in an NFC championship against the Giants.
Yep, I remember that game. That was a good game.
So,
but yeah. Anyway, I think that it's important that the Giants look ahead right now, finish this season strong type thing. And
they have a long time to prepare for Cincinnati, so I fully expect them to win that game. And if they don't, I'll go right back into my, like, oh, the Giants this, the Giants that, like, crying and bitching and moaning. But right now, it looks good and it feels good. And you kind of just – you see the pieces coming together. And I've had Eagles fans telling me – always, this is the part of the show where I sound off on Eagles fans. I've had Eagles fans tell me all week, like, oh, you're ruining your draft stock. Wouldn't you rather have a top 10 draft pick? No, here's what you got to understand. Unlike the Eagles, washed up, just old-ass team that isn't going anywhere or doing anything with the current structure they have, they had their moment in the sun, and they can continue to milk that championship. The Giants now have a young team with a first-year head coach and a second-year quarterback that's really starting to figure it out. And you can just see it. You see the pieces coming together, and my argument would be that the Giants, it would be more beneficial for them organizationally and as a team to even if they go into a wild card game and just get obliterated. That is more beneficial than any top 10 pick potentially could be, because you're getting your young team some reps in a big game. You're getting that atmosphere. You're getting that feel. And I think that for a young team and a rookie head coach and a young quarterback, that's more beneficial to get that experience under their belt when you want to start making runs at seriously being contenders over the next 2, 4, 6, 8 years. I think that that's more important, in my opinion. And let me just talk about Eagles fans real quick. You guys are pathetic. You do nothing but talk, and you can't back it up. That's all I'm going to say. You guys literally stink. You root for a bad organizational football team. They are lost. You went 0-for-10 on third downs. Just a completely lost team. Carson Wentz will never be the same. Doug Peterson's lost his moxie. Oh, your offensive linemen are old. Your defensive linemen are old. You're not going to be able to pay for everybody. Your moment in the sun is close to over. And if this is your last year in this window, I wouldn't be surprised. So you guys keep screaming, "Go Birds!" because I don't care anymore. The losing streak is over. This era of Giants being completely crap is close to over. Enjoy mediocrity for the next 60 years. And just remember, Eli Manning has more rings than your organization does. So you can sleep on that every night, okay? And that'll be the last I say about you until we win the NFC East and I talk more smack. Good night. All right, that's me talking about the – I'm done. I'm
wow. Done. So
I had to do it to him because you
clearly,
know.
Clearly Keegan over here is a very, very big fan of the Philadelphia Eagles. And
I have a special place in my heart for Eagles fans and people from Philadelphia. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, so he seems to be very intrigued by this upcoming Philadelphia team and sees them to win many, many Super Bowls in the coming years.
Oh, yeah, they're a dynasty, bro. They're just like the late 2000s Celtics, man.
Okay,
they're a dynasty. You better watch out, boys. Bang, bang, Bird Gang, get it. I don't care anymore.
I'm going to stop you here before you go any farther. Let's switch the topic. I know you've had a very, very fun –
I'm putting on a show.
Of course. I completely get it. But
they're going to take the bait. You know they're going to take the bait. You know they are. You know they're going to take the bait. Yeah, let's talk Knicks.
So, yes, let's switch over to the NBA. We got a big week coming up for the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, obviously, we're both Knicks fans here, but the reports coming in today have been very, very in favor of the Nets. James Harden turns down the first ever contract offer to become a $50 million per year player, something nobody's ever seen before. Why? Because he wants to be traded to Brooklyn. He wants to join KD and Kyrie and make a super, super, super team. No.
I mean, I have some thoughts on this.
I think that...
I say do it.
I think they're going to destroy everything.
Hear me out.
They're not going to work well together.
Hear me. Yeah, I'm getting to it. I see in this arrogant Jay-Z run Brooklyn Nets team exactly what I saw 5 years ago when they thought they could put together a Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Darren Williams, just all those old guys together to beat LeBron, the greatest player of all time.
Wow.
This is just something that, like, they do this because, like, listen, the Knicks are not going to do something like this because no one wants to play for you-know-who.
Mr. Dolan.
No one wants to play for – yeah. And that stinks. But here's the thing. Trade for Harden. You're going to have to get rid of LeVert. You're going to have to get rid of Dinwiddie. You're going to have to get rid of Allen. You're going to have to get rid of all these young players that you've been building around. Because I'll tell you what, when the two most egotistical players in the league come back and they're playing for you next year, have fun. Because there's going to be trouble in paradise at the snap of a finger. Kyrie Irving doesn't even like playing basketball anymore. Kevin Durant tore his Achilles. That is a tough, tough, tough injury to come back from. No hate towards Kevin Durant. It's just a tough injury to come back from. So we'll see what happens. But honestly, I say do it. Put all your eggs in that basket. I dare you, Brooklyn. I dare you. That's my take on it.
Look, I do not think that it would be beneficial for their team. I think that what's going to end up happening is they're going to have – so let's say that Harden gets traded in this situation for, like you said, Allen, LeVert, Dinwiddie, picks, just in general. Uh-huh. I think that what's
going to happen – I mean, that's the haul it's going to have to be because James Harden, like it or not, is a top five player in this
exactly. league. And this isn't the NFL. You can't just get a few picks in and then all of a sudden it's fine. You need to give up a good majority of your future in order to get someone as talented.
You have to give up assets because this would have to be a win-now move.
Exactly. So I think that what's going to end up happening, so let's say that the Nets end up with James Harden in a large trade. Look, you still have Kyrie under contract, KD under contract, DeAndre Jordan under contract.
That is.
Now you're going to put in Harden. I don't think that this team is going to last longer than probably 2 years. Dude, I don't think that you have the money for that.
This is the shades of Pierce, Garnett, Williams, Lopez, man. It's the same situation, just with flashier names. It's the same thing, and it won't work.
Look, right now, I think the Nets are in a great spot for next season.
They're in a better spot now than if they trade for Harden,
Exactly. I think right now, with Caris LeVert, with Spencer Dinwiddie, with a bunch of solid role players, and you have, I'd be some – sort of money going into the free agency where you're able to get some sort of at least veteran deals or something like that, where you're able to sign someone like a Serge Ibaka to an MLE or something like that. I think that that would be so much more beneficial than trading for James Harden and having two of the biggest, like you said, egotistical players in the league on the same team. Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant all need the ball to succeed.
Yeah.
You really think that they're going to work well together with the three of them? Look, I think
that – I sense trouble in paradise immediately.
The reason why the big three worked in Miami with Bosch, LeBron, and Wade was that they all had their separate purposes. LeBron was obviously the main whatever. He was the scorer. He was the big whatever. Wade, who was – obviously number two. Actually, I mean, that could be debatable.
I'd say that's right. Yeah.
But Wade was
even the Warriors' big three, like whether or four, like they all had their own jobs.
Exactly.
Curry spaces the floor. Kevin Durant is the scorer. Klay spaces the floor and he spaces the floor and he plays defense. And Draymond Green is a great scrappy defender. You want three on-ball guys who need the ball to succeed.
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going with it.
In a New York market, that's not going to end well.
Like, with Miami, they had three different guys meant for three different roles. Even for Golden State, they had four different guys that had to adapt a little bit from their previous play, but they were able to work with four guys with four different roles. You have KD, Kyrie, and Harden. You're not going to be able to get them to adapt that way. These guys need the ball to succeed. They need to score, and I think that Kyrie and KD would have worked. Obviously, I think there could have been some.
I think it's still can. It could. I mean, even with Kyrie and KD, and this isn't just because I hate the Nets. I'm not sold on the Nets just because with guys like LeVert and Dinwiddie and Jared Allen, those are great young pieces. I might be more confident because they'll have that depth with Harden that has the opportunity to look real sexy on paper, but just become a mess immediately. And like, even with, like, I stand true to what I said about Kyrie and KD already. Kyrie Irving, I don't know how I feel about, like, he hasn't played good basketball in 3 years, right? He's been either injured or just being weird.
No, I think that, like, as soon as he left Cleveland, he's been a cancer to whatever team he's been on.
Just been a weirdo. And then, like, Kevin Durant, on the other hand, is the biggest cupcake snowflake ever. And he's, God forbid, because that's a terrible injury to sustain, especially in an NBA Finals. That's a really hard injury to ever get back to the level he was at. 100%. That's a tough injury. And Achilles is no joke in the NBA.
And look, Kyrie.
It's been so many times.
Kyrie, once he left Cleveland, he, like, the best, what's it called? The best example of this is Boston. He went into Boston for what? Was it a year? Was it 2 years? I think it was a year.
I think he was there for 2 years, but he ended up being injured for the first one. And they took LeBron to game seven.
So, but anyway, he completely destroyed the team chemistry. The Celtics were lucky enough to be in a situation where they were good enough on their own, where I think that they have a much better shot of making the playoffs now than they would with him.
Obviously, I think the Celtics are better than the Nets still, by the way.
I think that if the Nets hold on to LeVert, hold on to all these key players, I think it's going to be a very fun matchup in the playoffs, most likely, whether that be second round or championship. But I think that – what's it called? I can't see this Nets team playing well with those three players. So in the event that a Harden trade happens, I don't think that it'll be beneficial for the Nets.
And listen.
That's my final thing on the Nets.
In all seriousness, the Nets succeeding, that's good for us.
Yeah.
That's good. I don't want the Nets to end up winning anything, but if they're a good team, that certainly doesn't hurt us. And I think that the Nets getting Harden, although it might look really good for a year or two, I still don't think it wins them a title.
Not at all. And if they have a shot to win,
and I think it ruins their future again, like it was 3 years ago. Like, they recovered nicely. But we can't forget that just 3 or 4 years ago, the Nets were in a terrible spot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if it wasn't for D'Angelo Russell, the Nets would be in the same exact position.
And listen, like, my final thought on the Nets is going to be, either way, I don't think you're going to win a title. I just don't. I don't really like your team, the way it's put together. I like your depth. I like your young players. I don't think it's going to be enough. I think the Celtics are better. I think Giannis is going to come out hungrier than ever. The Heat can't be slept on. I mean, hell, the Raptors can't be slept on. The Nets are not they're not the perennial favorite. If they get Harden, they will be. And even then, I don't love it.
Overrated.
Even then, I won't love it. And that you can say we're just two Knicks fans hating. We're just being realistic because we're as realistic as it gets.
Obviously, this isn't the same like level of hype. This isn't the same whatever. But that OKC team where it was Westbrook, Paul George, and Melo. Or not Paul George, not yet. Actually, when was Melo on the Thunder?
He was on the Thunder at the same time as Paul George
and
Westbrook for one of those years. I think you're right. It's a good comparison.
I don't know.
I see the similarity there.
It didn't work, and it's not going to work in Brooklyn. That's my final thing on the Nets. I think that right now we'll take a quick little two-minute interlude to talk about the Knicks because there's not – I mean, obviously –
the draft is coming up. We can talk about that real quick.
Say that again?
The draft.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But, and also Westbrook rumors. There's a couple of Knicks.
Yeah, that's true. So right now there's nothing happening with the Knicks in terms of confirmed news. There hasn't been any wild trades or anything. We were hoping that by the time that this episode ended, there would be some sort of trade for the Knicks, whether that be for Russell Westbrook. I don't know if I want Russell Westbrook. I'm glad that Chris Paul's on the Suns. I didn't want Chris Paul. I think that the Knicks are going to give up too much for something that's not going to give them anything.
I'll tell you who's untouchable right now if they were to make a trade for Westbrook. And who I'm saying is untouchable is going to make it unrealistic. The two first-round picks from this year and next year that are ours are untouchable. RJ Barrett is untouchable. Mitchell Robinson is untouchable. The Clippers first, that I'd be okay with dealing away. Did something happen?
No, not recently, but I just wanted to say 2 days ago, Chad Ford reported that the Knicks may consider trading RJ Barrett or Mitchell Robinson in order to secure a top three pick in the draft.
That is a different story.
I hate being a Knicks fan.
No, but that's different. And I don't think that'll happen. But I'd rather do that than trade one of them for Westbrook.
Look, yeah, I don't think that making a big trade right now is the right move. I think that if the Knicks want to make a big play, I think you do it in the draft. I think you either trade into the top three, whether that be if you want to pick LaMelo.
If they trade it into the top three, I'd like that a lot. I think that the Timberwolves are going to take LaMelo first, dude. Okay. I have a feeling. I mean, this is like the first year in a while there's not like a definitive first pick, right?
Really?
Like, I mean, last year we all knew it was going to be Zion. And the year before that, who was it? Ayton? I guess that wasn't definitive. It was Ayton, right? 2 years ago?
Was that 2 years ago? Was that really only 2 years ago? I feel it's longer.
Yeah, I know. That's wild. Hold on.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, anyway,
Before that, it was Markelle Fultz who ended up sucking, and before that, it was – like, what I'm trying to say is usually we know. So, like, this year we really don't. I don't know. I just feel like it's going to be LaMelo Ball.
Look, I think that this is one of the most talented draft classes over the past 5 years. I think that this draft is extremely important in comparison to next year's draft because, one, we're not sure on – whether the age limit or not is going to be decreased for next year's draft, but right now it's not looking too hot, so it might not be able to like be right out of high school or whatever the new rule is.
This is what we've been begging for so long.
I think that this year there's a lot more prospects that look NBA ready as compared to next year.
Yeah, and also just like with the whole process of like obviously this pandemic and stuff like that too. Like it's just there's nothing set in stone really with college basketball yet, and like because of that, yeah, you're right, the NBA readiness, I think you're correct.
So I don't know, I think that the Knicks should hold off on any big trades for someone like a Russell Westbrook, or I mean the Knicks aren't going to trade for James Harden, but I think that the Knicks should hold off on those kind of trades. I think that they should wait until draft night to make some big moves and then going free agency. That's my personal opinion.
I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen between now and 48 hours from now when the Knicks are drafting, and you better believe that if something really, really big happens, we'll put out a short episode.
100%.
Like, trading into the top three or Westbrook or both, for instance, is probably worth talking about for a solid 20 minutes.
Yeah, we'll have an inter whatever.
I mean, like, that's only if something big happens. If not, we'll just wait till next week, but You'll know. But
we'll have a lot to talk about next episode, whether that be during the week or on Monday.
Yeah, there'll be something. So, I mean, with the Knicks, like, I don't know. I won't lie to you, man. I'm kind of hungry to do something interesting.
I don't know. I think
I just am. Like, I'm just – at this point, I've kind of gotten to, like, a – I'd be happier if the Knicks were an 8 seed and even just won one game because
– No, that's fair.
I've been saying this for years and years. Like, the day the New York Knicks win their next championship will be the day New York City just explodes.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening anytime soon, unfortunately.
Yeah, but like, it's just, I don't know, like with the Knicks, it's just so hard. Like, I have no confidence or even just
no, me either.
Excitement, and like I will once the season comes around. Like I always get excited for Knicks basketball, but like
I get disappointed. No, I completely
right now nothing feels like there's nothing that fun really.
Yeah.
It's just Yeah, I mean, you gotta hope for the best. You just gotta keep hoping for the best. That's all.
As struggling fans right now, we've got a lot to look forward to this week.
Here, one more thing.
Yes.
Rangers Liberty jerseys are awesome.
Yeah, I saw those. Those actually do look pretty fire.
Those look good. So, and the Rangers hopefully won't. I think the Rangers might actually be pretty good this year. So this is the year, like I said, Anthony's getting into hockey.
That's very true. Yes, I've been playing a lot of Chell on my Xbox.
It's fun. It's a fun game, right?
It is.
It is actually very fun. Luke. Yeah, you're gonna start learning the players, and it's gonna be a good time. We're all gonna make those growing pains together.
So, there you go.
Yeah, I mean. I guess I'll plug my socials, right? Because that's all.
Yep, go right ahead.
All right. So as always, at Kyle Keegan on Instagram and Twitter, but the L is one. That's Kai1E Keegan. And if you want to follow us, that's on Instagram at Big Apple Sports Media and on Twitter, Big Apple SP Media. And now you.
If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm AnthonyEV7. Instagram is AnthonyEvangelista7. Thank you all so much for listening to episode 19. Hopefully we'll have some bigger news next week. But as of right now, we're chilling in terms of Giants football. We're scared in terms of Knicks basketball. And I'm still depressed about the Jets. So
you're getting Trevor Lawrence. Hey, growing pains. We're getting better. We've got stuff to be excited about. And Steve and Uncle Steve bought the Mets. Uncle Steve bought the Mets.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you guys all for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.